Well, if you have your Bibles, we are going to be in Mark chapter 6 tonight. Last week we learned a little bit about Ichabod and all that last Wednesday, but this week we are going to go and we're going to learn a little bit about John the Baptist. Not John the Baptist when he was preaching, but this story right here in the middle of the Gospel of Mark here in the beginning, and it's kind of like takes place right here in the middle of Jesus doing some ministry. And then there's this story that's going to be told. So let me bring it up here that in verse 12, so they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed them with oil who were sick and healed them. So the Lord Jesus is doing a lot of work and ministry. And then it says in verse 14, now King Herod heard of him. Now who is him? He's heard of Jesus. Now you've heard what Jesus is doing those things we just talked about, and casting out demons and healing people. And his name has become well known. And anytime somebody is in leadership position, and these kings, they always wanted anybody that had a name that was up and coming and rising, they always took it, they wanted to check it out because it could be a contender that they might have to fight later or they might have to take care of. Always protecting their own personal interests and thrones. But he says, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Another said, it is Elijah. Another said, it is the prophet of like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. So now the story about what he just said about John the Baptist being beheaded and him thinking that this is John and in the body of Jesus, different. We're going to hear this story. I truly think that King Herod's just being haunted by his sins. You know, that's what sin does. It haunts you. If you don't confess it, it haunts you. Sin haunts you over and over. It's like it's on your shoulder and you cannot get rid of it. You can't get rid of it because it belongs to us. We did it. The only way we can get rid of it is truly come to Christ and ask for forgiveness. And the Bible says that the Lord will cast as far as the east is from the west. He'll get it off of you and throw it away. King Herod had a lot of problems, and we're going to talk about those tonight. This story here we're going to talk about doesn't really talk about Jesus much. Talks about John, but John doesn't say much in here. He says it's one little piece. But really what this story is about, this is a dark road of what happens when you desire seduction, those kind of things. And there's an old Rolling Stones song, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might get what you need. But people aren't interested in their needs. They're interested in what their wants are. I want that. I want this. And people will do all kinds of things. Side note. Wonder how much stimulus money will be bought, how much drugs will be bought in stimulus money. Just think about that. How much money will be given to the strip joints or Vegas or the bar? A lot, because people will go after what they want. And that want, a lot of times, is a sinful want. For Herod himself, in verse 17, had sent and laid hold of John. He took John, he arrested him, and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married. Bad thing. Bad thing going on here. Herodias, I think, is a very wicked woman, a very evil woman. She's a wicked woman. Evil. Kind of runs up alongside of Jezebel. Just not, yeah. But let me just remind you, Jezebel's in her own, she's her own rank, okay? She's at the top of the evil of evils for women. But Herodias was right there. She was the wife of Philip. But now she becomes the wife of King Herod. The verse 18 says, because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Here Herod is held against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. Here's what we find out, that John was not afraid to confront. If there was a boastful voice in the wilderness, now out of it is John the Baptist. It's John. John called it out. John called out this sin to Herod. You know you shouldn't be with your brother's wife. You shouldn't be with your brother's wife. And he put it out there. People don't like that. People don't like it when we say something. The world don't like it. But you know who don't like it also? Other brothers and sisters in Christ. Because them, the first thing we do is we are worse than the world. The world will just turn and run and get away from you. Our brothers and sisters, when we say some things, now we have to do these things in love. We have to make sure that our hearts are right. Before we try to get that splinter out of someone's eye, we got to make sure we got to take that log out of our own. There's some good scripture there. But it shouldn't shy us away from sometimes talking about sinful things to our brothers and sisters if they're doing something. If someone was going to walk off a cliff, would you just sit there and watch them go? No, you want to help them not to go there. You would say something, don't go there. And I think we have to be cautious when we do it. But sometimes the church doesn't do it because we're afraid of the ramifications that they just might leave the church. Or that people are going to be angry with us. Listen, anytime you confront sin, anger always seems to come up. People don't like it. But Christians, a little bit different than the world. The world will rattle off a few words and run, and they'll just get away from you. But the Christian will say, what are you judging me for? What are you judging me for? You know what happens? They're just putting a defense up. They're putting a defense up. Instead of saying, why do you see it that way? Am I missing something? No. When you say something, how many times has anybody responded with love? They don't. Or a concern. Or how are you seeing that? I'm seeing it this way. No, we don't. We want to. We know we've done something. Most of the time we know it. We put a big wall up because we don't like people telling us that we're in sin. I had several people leave the church when I said would say things like living together, sex outside of marriage, homosexual relationships, all those things. They're all wrong. But so is stealing and lying and gossiping. But these other things that I've said offended me. You've offended me, what you said. So people don't like it. And people get angry. And people say things. The Herodias, she hated John. Herodias had her own intentions. She wanted to get up in there and she wanted to be right up there. She wanted to be one of these queen individuals. She wanted to be up there where there's no, you have no needs. Everything's taken care of. She didn't mind jumping from one bed to another. But John said, is it lawful for you to have your brother's wife? John didn't talk to Herodias. John talked to Herod. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. She just didn't want him out of the city. She wanted to have him killed, period. And she tried to get King Herod to do that, but he wasn't going to let it happen. This woman had evil intentions. This woman used all kinds of things to get what she wanted. And evil people will do anything to get what they want. And when you live your life right up against them and you're living in your life right in that same home you're living and you're spending time with them, though you could get away from that, you're living into that because you like those fleshly desires to fulfill those desires, what happens is that evil is going to get stronger and stronger in that home. It's going to get stronger and stronger in that situation. So people who socialize with those who are in evil say, oh, I can control my urges. I can control. No, you can't. You will lose. You cannot control evil people, and you cannot control sin. You can't control your own. You can't control sin. You can't. You can say no, but once you can't control it. Sin controls. It does those things. It does those things. And King Herod was going to take it hook, line, and sinker. He's going to take it all. But it says in verse 24, Herod feared John. He had a fear of John, knowing that he was a just and holy man. And he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. So there was parts of King Herod, he wanted to hear what John had to say. He was wanting to hear. He feared him because the power that was in John had the Holy Spirit. There was a power when a person, a godly person, speaks and their Holy Spirit, and they're doing what the Holy Spirit, they're doing what God wants them to. There is a power in that. And King Herod feared John. He feared him, but he had him bound. He had him put in prison. He's kind of trying to play both sides of the track, if you say. Well, listen, you can't do it and win. And we're going to find that. You cannot play on both sides of the track and think you will win. Because the day you think you can, you've done been fooled. You've lost already. And then we see this word, we see this kind of line, we read it also. Even when Jesus was in the desert, we see this, and Satan will come at an opportune time. Here it is. Then an opportune time came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles and high officers and the chief men of Galilee. What it is, it's birthday party time. Be careful who you invite to your party. Be careful who you invite to your home and into your parties, because that if there is someone that has got evil intentions in it, it will rise up in the center of your party. You know, birthday parties, there's a lot of birthday parties that end horrible. Anybody ever been to a party? I was about 13 years old, and I got choked at a New Year's Eve party. Thought I wasn't going to make it because everybody was drinking. 13 years old. I put a headlock. Come on, let me see how strong you are. Whiskey bottle in the hand, took me out. I almost passed out. But that was before my family came to the Lord. But it was a party. I saw people hooting and hollering and this. And you know what? As it got later in the night, got a little bit louder. Got people going because people think they're going to go to a party. They're going to have a good time. And then another party, a drinking party. Knife flies across. Almost a big skirmish in the family. Somebody came in, was super drunk. Somebody pulled out a knife. I was told to go upstairs. Let me tell you, when sin is at the party, sin takes over. And here it is. They're having a party. They're getting it up. They're getting going. It's going. It's up in it. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced, now we're getting into the seduction. Because sex, it seems like it's always at the end of these types of parties, if you know what I mean. Satan just waits until you... Listen, if you think marijuana is good, let me tell you something. All marijuana does, and I'd love for a lot of other people of our church to be here tonight, because it twists your brain a little bit. It manipulates your mind and your thinking. And this is what's happening. It's manipulating the mind and the thinking. And now a young lady comes in. A young lady comes in. Herodias' daughter. She don't care about her daughter, per se. She wants her daughter to do what she can't do, because this is a very young girl. She's going to dance in a way that's going to seduce the men. And all of a sudden, you know, when that seduction and the dancing starts flowing and all those things, I'm telling you, evil is doing what evil does, and it's blinding the eyes of all the people that are there, where they only see with the flesh. And I wondered if some of them were seeing two or three girls as much as they were partying. But Herodias was on mission. Satan was on mission, working through Herodias. And now when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want and I will give it to you." He was intoxicated. Probably just not by alcohol, but he was intoxicated by the looks of this young girl, intoxicated by the eyes of the flesh. He said something foolish. He said, I'll do. What do you want? Ask me what you want, and I'll give it to you. We know where this was going, where he thought it was going. But evil will not let you enjoy the sin to the full max of what you think it's going to be. It's always going to choke you. It's not even going to give you what you think. You never enjoy the sin as much as you think you're going to enjoy it. When you're in it, you never really get the full enjoyment of it. He's intoxicated. Seduction. Evil just hooked him in. And all the men and all of them are just watching. He's the king. We'll follow. So he swore to her, "Whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom." Foolish words. I wonder if he would have said that without the party. But he's into the party. It's his party. And if it's the king's party, it's the best wine in the house, best wine in the city. There's not going to be a shortage of it. It's going to be, have as much as you want. And he says something foolish. He is the king, and he says, "I'll give you up to half of my kingdom." Man, how many people in this world has done something so stupid and so foolish and gave something away in the middle, getting ready for that sin, just to say, "I got you, come on, you can have it," and just grab it, grab you, pull you in with a death hold. Let me bring it down to reality. "Oh man, she looks so great. I think we're going to go out and we're going to have a good time. I don't know this girl, but we're going to go out and have a one-night stand. And you don't even know that this woman could have AIDS." She could be married. When I stepped off the plane in Panama, I got off, got him there. It was like, came from the cold of New York, flew down there. Next thing I know, I'm in the jungles or whatever. And I had to do a couple of things. You have to come in and get acclimate yourself or whatever. Then we had to go to the police station. And here's the first thing they did. "Y'all need to come over here. You new guys need to come over here. You need to look at this wall right here. There's a couple of women that you don't want to get around in, that she runs around, especially this one right here. She runs around in the community in Panama City. She has AIDS. She was told to go out and have sex with as many American soldiers as possible. And she has done a good job. And a lot of soldiers were coming up with, what's wrong with me?" And they would get tested, and they have AIDS. And they go to the, "Was you with this woman?" "Yes, it was." "When was it?" "It was after I went to the bars. Then I went down to whatever street it was, I can't remember, where the prostitutes would hang out. And because in the flesh they couldn't control themselves, and so they went out and did their thing, and then they come back, and then they end up getting sick, and then they didn't even know they was with another girl. And this woman infected so many men, and she was the number one person that they were looking for." And Herodias' daughter is doing this dance just enough to flirt, to flaunt herself, that King Herod would just be suckered right into it. And wanting, even willing to give half of his kingdom. So she went out and she said to her mother, "Mom, what shall I ask?" And Herodias answered, "Head of John the Baptist." While all the party's going on, evil is over here in the corner going, "I got it. I got him. I got him. I got him." This is the story that's told, that you don't see a believer in here. But it's a story. John's in, and he said, you hear what John had said. You know what happens to John. But this is where evil and darkness is working. And these guys just fell right into it. a great pastor, said that him and his wife got into a fuss. You know, pastors and pastors' wives do get into fusses from time to time. He was a minister that was on TV. A lot of pressure, a lot of stress. Good. He's not one of those one guys, but he's solid. Well, he said, we just got in a really bad fight. He said, I'm not even going to tell you what it's about because it's a marriage thing. I get in my car, and I drive down the road. I'm a little hot, and I'm a little steamy. I pulled up, and I stopped at a stoplight. And then next thing you know, a car pulls up, and it's a convertible, and this beautiful blonde woman rolls down the window and invites me to go to a motel. And he said, there was a moment of temptation that was there because I was so angry and she was so beautiful. But there was something inside of me that said, whoa, slow your roll. And he said, for a moment, I thought about it. And next thing I know, I just blew that red light. I got out of there. What do you think he would have lost? He would have lost his whole ministry. He would have lost his marriage. That's exactly what Satan is trying to do. Here, he wants John the Baptist, and he uses Herodias to do it. And Herodias tells the daughter, because the daughter's just playing right into the hand. She's young. She thinks she's got so many years ahead of her. The beauty's going to be there. Let me tell you, ladies, your beauty is there, but it will. It's fleeting. Same thing with us men. Our handsome traits are fleeting. Thank God he looks on the inside. Praise the Lord. Because outside, we're falling apart, but inside, we're being renewed every day, and we're growing more beautiful to God every day. Because God looks at the heart, and if we're drawing closer to God every day, we're getting more beautiful. But Herodias' daughter says, yeah. So immediately, she came in with haste. She was on mission. She came right up to the king, didn't hesitate. And I was saying, I want you to give me at once, the head of John the Baptist on a platter. If this guy was buzzing or whatever, he was now having 100. What are you? Let me tell you, this is what sin does. It gives you a curveball you can't see coming. And here it is. He has been told to give the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Let me tell you, God saw that. Sometimes people ask, where was God in that? Sometimes God allows things to happen. But let me tell you, they're accountable for their actions. God will hold them accountable. Though the world didn't, he says, I'm king, King Herod. I'm the boss of everything. Let me tell you, there is a king of kings who's in charge of all kings. And every knee shall bow and confess to the Lord. He says, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Here's the thing. Sorry doesn't cut it. Not without the right actions. Sorry doesn't cut it. He was sorry about this. Oh, I feel so bad about this. I'm going to have John the Baptist's head cut. I feel so bad about it. But because of all these people here, I can't refuse her. He's looking around. Everybody's watching him now. It's your house. You're the king. We're watching you. Do you keep your word? You see what sin does? It paints you into a corner. And once you get that far, most will just step into another sin. So immediately the king set an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. That was not the next day. That was right there and then. Right there and then. And he went and he beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother, and so has the party. I thought parties were supposed to be fun. That's what people tell me. Hey, we're going to have a keg. We're going to go out and we're going to have a party. We're going over to so-and-so's. He's getting out. He's been in for 10 years. We're going to have a party. It's going to be good. It never ends well. When the agenda is to have a party and blitz your head just to get all out of whack. Listen, darkness in the midst of that, waiting for the right opportunity, and then some young lady gets raped. Somebody gets in a car and goes out and kills somebody or kills himself because they were drunk. Sin takes that, takes those things that people think are going to be fun. In the eyes of the world, King Herod could do what he wanted. But we know that John the Baptist was purposed to baptize for the forgiveness of sin, set to be the forerunner for Jesus Christ. The death of John was not, this was not like, oh, God lost one here. No, God allowed darkness. Sometimes God allows darkness to do things. King Herod is going to answer to this before God. Never think your title can get you out of sin. And if it does get, because maybe money gets people sometimes out of some trouble. Maybe sometimes a title or a position can get someone out of trouble. But let me tell you, that has no effect on how we stand before God. Money is nothing to God. Our positions are nothing to God. King Herod had a party, and he had a big party, and he thought he was, some things were going to happen that didn't happen, and that party got really bad. Actually, King Herod became a murderer. He was already an adulteress. He said he was sorry. But sorry didn't cut it. Sorry doesn't cut it. I think sometimes that's what we do with God. Lord, I'm sorry. And we go right back. Really no change. We don't really let God do a work here. You see, when we say we're sorry, we kind of just, okay, Lord, forgive me, I'm done, and we go on. Sometimes we need to stop and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and let God do something. Let God do work. And King Herod didn't want none of that. I'm also reminded that before John the Baptist met his end, we do read some scriptures where he did have a moment, just like every one of you and I have had in our life. I wonder if Jesus really is who he says he is. He sends his disciples out and says, will you go ask him? Now, they find Jesus and he's out doing his thing. They come up, John wants to know if you're really the one. And Jesus says, the sick are healed. The possessed are free. And he says some other things. And they're going to turn and walk away and take that message. And there's no other time that I can find in Scripture where Jesus lifts a man up. He says, while they were walking, he says, and he does some Scripture piece, and he says this one thing. There's no greater man that's ever lived greater than John the Baptist. Wow. Yet, compared to those in heaven, the least in heaven is still greater than him. John the Baptist was a very important man. I mean with this. And when his disciples heard of it, they heard that John the Baptist and this horrible thing that happened, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. It looked like a defeat. But let me just share this. And the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And then he said to them, come aside come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. And then it just goes on. Jesus' ministry just keeps on going. It worked out just the way. John said this. When the disciples were complaining, Jesus, that guy over there is baptizing more people than you are and we are. And John said, he must increase and I must decrease. See, there was going to be a problem. People were going to start. Yeah. I believe it could have been a moment, in my opinion, that could have been a moment where people began to almost worship John. There's only one we worship. Amen. Amen. I know that you guys are not party animals. I know you're not that. And if you did those things, I hope those things are all behind you. But don't be surprised that one day you may end up in a place. You need to learn to walk away. Because when you walk into a party, as a believer of Christ, you walk into that party and you think you're going to be at that party and you're going to, let me tell you, you are the number one target for evil. Not the lost people, it's you. When you walk in, the darkness wants you to trip up and fail and fall into temptation and get back to sinful living. You need to learn to say no. Amen? So let's go ahead and stand.